22 points out something that is very, very clear and very simple for all of us to understand. Reality is, all people, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, you're going to die. Right? That's what it says here. The rich man died, the poor man died. The poor man went to Abraham's bosom. Verse number 23 says about the rich man, he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Keep your place there, and let's pray. Father, we come now to a very sobering text of Scripture. I need your help. Help me to be clear as I preach your word this morning. Help people to pay attention to this very serious teaching of the Lord Jesus. And help us, Father, to ask you to work in our hearts as we are listening to the message. If there's one here that doesn't know Christ, help them to realize the importance of coming to know him as Savior. For those that know him as Savior, help us then to ask you to develop within us a spirit of compassion toward those that do not know Jesus, because there is a place called hell. Not created, if you would, for us, but all those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, when they die, they go to a Christless hell forever and ever. But help us also to hear the note of hope. If we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved and spend all of our eternity in your presence forever. So speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Heaven or hell? Loved ones will weep over my silent face, dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Not to repair the good I lack, fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No room to repent, no turning back, 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh so long. Then woe is me if my soul be wrong, 5 minutes after I die. Again, what will happen the first 5 minutes after you die? If you do not know what the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and you die without him as your Savior, you will be in a place called hell forever. When you think about the subject of hell, it's not a very popular subject. In fact, many preachers do not preach on the subject of hell anymore. It's about heaven. It's about grace. It's about feeling good. It's about how to get along in life and so forth. But may I say that it is important to preach on the subject of hell. And some people, again, it is to them, it's not a very popular subject. In fact, some people will tell other people to go to hell. But I trust this morning as you listen to what Jesus taught in this passage, that you will understand what kind of place hell is, and that you will never, ever tell anyone to go to a place called hell. People react differently toward the mention of hell. Some are moved with concern for others and witness to them of Jesus. Some are moved to fear and come to Jesus for salvation. Others respond with hate and deny its existence. But may I say to you that Jesus himself taught more on hell than he ever did on heaven. In fact, of the 162 references in the New Testament scriptures about hell, Jesus spoke of it 70 times. And the passage before us is one of the most detailed teachings that Jesus gave on the subject of hell. And so this morning I want us to note two main thoughts. One, we want to note the description of hell, and then we want to note the response from hell. Would you notice with me, if you would, and we'll look at various passages of Scripture, but the description of hell and how it is described for us in the Bible. I would say to you that, first of all, it is a place of vile associations. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The Bible gives you just a small sampling of individuals that will be in hell. Satan will be there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Satan, our adversary, will one day get a one-way ticket to hell and be tormented day and night forever and ever. Along with him will be the fallen angels that fell with him from heaven. They will be there, for the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." Occasionally I will hear people tell me in course of conversation with them as I am trying to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how if they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, sometimes I will hear this: "It really doesn't matter if I die and go to hell, because it's going to be a great time with all of my friends. It's going to be just a great party in hell." That is such a false statement. Hell is not going to be a party. And by the way, it's not a place you want your friends to be. You want your friends to be on the road to heaven. But even if you die without Christ and you go to a place called hell, your friends may be there, but again, you see in the scripture, you're going to be associated there with the likes of Satan himself, the Antichrist, the false prophet. All of them will be there. It will not be a Sunday school picnic. It will not be a party. It will be a great place where Satan and demon spirits dwell. But notice with me, secondly, heaven is a place of separation from believing loved ones. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 28, Jesus says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." It breaks my heart to know that I have some relatives that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're hiding behind their baptism. They're hiding behind their church label, whatever it may be. And they think themselves to be all right, but they do not see the need to receive Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. And it is my prayer for them that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want them to be able to spend eternity with me, if you would, forever in the presence of the Lord in a place called heaven. Because God has not designed hell for people like you and me, but all who reject Jesus Christ as Savior and die in their sins, they go to a place called hell. So think of this. Hell is a place of separation from believing loved ones. Some of you here this morning in this congregation have loved ones that are in that condition who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I join you in praying for your loved ones that they would come to know the Lord, because I know that when you go to heaven, or if Jesus Christ comes first, that you want to be able to go up together to meet the Lord in the air. That's how we want to go. But hell is a place of separation from believing loved ones. Notice this. Hell is a place of eternal darkness. Have you ever been in a dark place? Have you ever visited the caverns down in Kentucky and Tennessee? I remember one of my first times visiting a cavern, and the guide had said, "I'm going to turn out the lights." And truly, my wife was with me. We could not even see each other, though we were standing right beside each other. Now, the Bible says that hell is a place of eternal darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says there, that is the chains of darkness. Jude in verse 13 says, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Summertime is one of my favorite times of the year. The first reason is because the warm weather. The second reason is I like those early morning hours when the sun is like coming up at 5 o'clock. I mean, I love that time. But as I think about a place called hell, there'll be no morning in hell. There will be just eternal darkness in a place called hell. Hell is also a place of eternal separation from God. Look in our passage now. We find we have a rich man and a poor man. The rich man dies and he goes to hell. He is very much alive. This is not just a cute little story that Jesus tried to share to scare people into heaven. Real story. All the other parables in the Bible, Jesus doesn't use names. That's why this is not a parable. This is an actual account. And there was this rich man who had it good in life. He had the money. He had all the nice clothes. He had it all. But the poor man, he was eating crumbs from the table. But we find that the rich man died and went to hell. He did not go to hell because of him being rich. People die and go to hell only one reason and one reason only. Because they reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the only reason. This rich man died and went to hell. And Jesus says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Now we find that he says in verse number 24 that he is tormented in the flame. But we find in verse number 26 he says this, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So hell is a place of eternal separation from God. Hold it now. There are some who believe that I could get baptized and baptize people out of hell. That is false teaching. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Is it important to be baptized? By all means. But I don't get baptized to release people from hell, because once people go to hell, there they are forever. eternally separated from God. I can't pray them out of hell. There they are forever. And here we find in verse number 26, he says there's a great gulf fixed, and that gulf cannot ever meet. It is fixed. And when one dies without Christ and goes to a Christless hell, there they are forever, eternally separated from God. God, if you would, will, quote, not bother them anymore. While on earth, God had sent some witnesses along the way, some friends along the way, some concerned people along the way to tell them of Jesus. But once they die without Christ and are in hell forever, there they are, eternally separated from God. Never have someone knock at their door. Never have a friend tell them again how they can be saved. All those opportunities are over, eternally separated from God. May I say to you, as we continue to go through this message, if this was all the Bible said about hell, that would be hell enough to be eternally separated from God. What a thought. Hell is a place of memory. Look in verse number 15. Luke 16 and verse number 15. I'm sorry, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. In other words, in hell, listen to me carefully, you will have your memory, and you will remember those times that people prayed over you, pleaded with you to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You will remember a time such as here on June 10th, 2018, sitting in the Calvary Baptist Church building, hearing the Word of God preached. And if you reject it and turn away from it and die without Christ, there you will be forever in hell. But you'll remember sitting in this building. You'll remember God giving you one more opportunity to come to Jesus, to receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior, realizing that God did love you. He gave you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. It is a place of memory. But it is also, according to verse number 24, a place of burning. Verse 24 says, the rich man now in hell, he says, I am tormented in this flame. Lazarus is comforted, but I am tormented. Would you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? I'm tormented in this flame. Hell is a place of burning. It is a place of torment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Mark 9:43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Oh, church, this morning I tell you, and I say this, I trust, from a humble spirit. I'm so thankful because of God's grace that I will never spend one second in a Christless hell. Amen. You see, Jesus said that hell was created for the devil and his angels, but all those that reject Jesus go to a place called hell. That's the description of hell from the Bible viewpoint, but I want you to notice also from the Word of God the response from hell. What is the response from hell? Listen carefully. I'm not having you turn because I just really want you to write these down and pay attention. But Proverbs 27 and verse number 20. The Bible says hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. In fact, hell says in Proverbs 30 in verse number 16, it's not enough. We want one more and one more and one more. It's not enough. It's not enough. That's what hell is crying out. It's not, there's room for more down here. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 5 and verse number 14, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. It's crying out, it's not enough, it's not enough. Isaiah 14 and verse number 9 says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. The response from hell is that it's not enough. But notice with me in our main passage, verse 26 and verse 27, what was the response of the rich man? Look at this, verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed that they cannot pass from hence to you that cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. The rich man now in hell saying, would you send Lazarus? Send someone to go to my house and tell my five brothers, my five relatives, not to come here. It's a horrible place. Don't come here. Every time I read that, I ask myself this question. Do the people in hell have more of a burden for lost people than I do? Because here was a man who now in hell crying out, please send someone to tell my brothers not to come here. You see, church, it would be better to be a crippled saint on your way to heaven than a healthy sinner on your way to hell. God does not want you to go to hell. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you today to believe. He wants you to come to Jesus. I realize for many of you, you've made that decision. You know for sure if you died right now, you'd be in heaven, not because you're a Baptist, not because you're in a good family, but you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a settled decision in your life that you have made, for some of you many years ago, for some of you just a recent decision. But if you haven't made that decision, please listen carefully. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Spirit of the living God says, don't go to hell. This Bible says, don't go to hell. The prayer of your loved ones is, don't go to hell. The prayer of this church is, don't go to hell. God has raised up the blood-stained cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, if you go to hell, you'll crack the crawl over the blood, bruised, bleeding body of Jesus to go there. Because you see, God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are speaking about compassion this month, and you talk about compassion, just think about the heart of God. For God so loved me, God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son so that we don't have to go to a place called hell, but that we could trust Jesus and know that we're on our way to heaven. Here we find in this passage of Scripture that this rich man had a burden now. Some would say, well, too late, but nonetheless, he says, go knock at the door of my brothers and tell them not to come here. We are all a heartbeat away from eternity. You young people, I have sat where you sat. I have been where you are. Thinking when I'm 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Man, I got the whole life in front of me. I'm going to live for a long, long time. When I looked at people my age, 57 years old, I thought, man, those are old people. Now that I am one, I'm still young. Those that are 70, excuse me, I'll stop there. But I tell you this morning, we are all only one heartbeat away from eternity. And where will you be 5 minutes after you die? What should your response be? What should your response be in respect to this message that Jesus taught on hell? I want to speak, if you would, to two, if I could use the word, classes of people that are in this congregation this morning. Yea, that are outside the walls of this building today. Let me speak first of all to those that are unsaved. You're not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. What should your response be to the teaching of Jesus about hell? Did he just give this teaching to scare people into heaven? No, he was a compassionate Savior. He did not want anyone and still does not want anyone to go to a place called hell. Your response, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, your response ought to be merciful unto me, O God. Your response today ought to be, Lord, save me. I don't want to go to a place eternally separated from you. I don't want to go to a place where I'll be tormented in flame forever. There was a young man who trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior during a special evangelistic meeting in his town that was held in a mining village. Wanting to do something for God, he bought some gospel tracts, some literature, and began to distribute those. And one day he met some of his former friends, quote unquote, and they decided that they would just mock him for trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior and said something like this: hey, can you tell me where hell is? And he thought about that and he said, yes, it's at the end of a Christless life. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior and you die in that state, what's at the end for you? Not soul sleep. Not an opportunity for someone to pray you out. Sadly, your end will be hell for eternity. Trust Jesus today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the escape from hell. That's the opportunity that Jesus gave to me, has given to many of you, and we have trusted, we have believed. We're not better than anyone else, but we have just taken God at his word, and we have said, oh Lord, save me. And he did that. So if you're without Christ today, come to Jesus. There's a second group of people I want to speak to, and that is, respect to hell, I want to speak to those of us that are saved. What should our response be? Well, very clearly and very frankly, we should be compassionate as our Heavenly Father is compassionate. The late preacher R.G. Lee said, the greatest sit-down strike in the world is in our churches, where men and women who claim to be saved have never become fishers of men. Another great preacher, C.T. Studd, said, some wish to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. You see, the Bible says in Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It breaks my heart to know that in Gaines Township today, that there will be people who will die without Christ and will go to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. Have you ever thought why God planted us where he did here, on this location, on this corner? I hear some of you pray from time to time, Lord, help us to be a lighthouse here on this corner. And may I say to you, this is why he has planted us here. This is why about 37 years ago, this church started on a 3-car garage a mile down the road. And to this day, here we are, we're still standing, still serving the Lord, but we go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to badger people, but if you would, we go door to door. We do whatever we can to tell people of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is, excuse me, Jesus said it clearly, there is only one way to heaven. There's not two, there's not three, there's not four. There's only one way. And I want to be so compassionate. I want to be so broken in my spirit. I want to be bothered when I go to the Lord in prayer over souls I'm praying for. I could tell you people just on this street alone, by name I won't tell you right now, but people that I'm praying for, and when I pray for them, I have a broken spirit. I want to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Why? Because I don't want them to go to a place called hell. At the end of the day, it's their decision, it's their choice. I can't make that decision for them. Oh, if I could, I would, but I can't. But I tell you what, I want to have a heart full of compassion, because every day, my heart broke when I saw on the internet the pictures of people covered in ash in Guatemala from that volcano that had erupted. I don't know if they had no warning. I don't know. But as I saw the pictures affected my heart. I said, oh dear God, every day people need the Lord. Every day. You've been hearing me say this lately, that the hope of this country is Jesus. That's the hope. Now here is my prayer this morning, that no Christian in this church would hear a message like this and walk out and not be bothered or moved by the teaching of Jesus on a place called hell. But that you would be so moved that when you pray this week, you, if you would, you would have a tear in your eye because you're concerned about people. You're concerned about your loved one. You're concerned. You have pled, you have begged, you have done what you could. And you're scratching your head thinking, oh dear God, what's it going to take? But stay compassionate. Stay full of compassion. When they reject you, understand they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Jesus you know. So let me ask you as I close, where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. No one stirring. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Just continue to listen attentively. Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Have you ever thought about it? Hell is not a joke. Hell is not a place you tell people to go to. Hell is real. In God so loved you, he's provided a way for you to come to know Jesus as Savior so that you don't have to go to a place called hell. Would there be someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. But if I died right now, I believe that's where I would go. I've never trusted Jesus. I have never accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. And today, I want to. I not only want to, I need to. I need to know Jesus. Now, is there someone here to say, Pastor, this morning, I don't know for sure if I die to go to heaven, but I want to know. Would you lift your hand up with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? I'm the only one looking. Say, Pastor, I want to know. I want to know for sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Don't worry about what your friends think. Listen, don't go to hell for anybody.